Amen, 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 amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We put together that video last week just as a point of celebration on what God, some of the things that God is doing at Chapel of Change. I was talking to a church member, and after they saw the video, they were like, man, I didn't even realize Chapel of Change was like that. And they've been with us for a while. So, amen. We are so grateful what God is doing and that we're all part of it. And on behalf of my wife, and we want to thank everybody who's taken ownership of Chapel of Change and pressing in. And we believe the best is yet to come. Someone say the best is yet to come. Before we get into the word this morning, I want to remind everybody, we're passing out flyers. We're going to put the flyer up on the screen. We're doing something we've never, ever done before. So keep us in prayer. We're actually renting the Harkins Theater in the Cerritos Mall for a night of soaking worship. Yeah, someone praise the Lord for that. We've never done this before. We're going out on a limb. But how many know there's miracles out in the limb? Amen. And we're going to rent this theater. It is a gorgeous theater, high volume. It's the biggest screen, they tell us, in Southern, in California. And we're going to be led in worship by recorded worship by some of the best worship teams in the whole world, Elevation Worship, Bethel Worship. And the night is primarily going to be about worship, but I will give a short word and we'll have time for prayer. But we really just want to invade the theater with the worship and prayer to God. Amen. So I really want you to kind of mark your calendar, write it on your phone. November 14th, we're calling all the church together. We are going to invade them all. Amen. And we're not going to buy nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go worship the Lord. You could buy some afterwards, but not before it. Amen. So we are studying this month from the subject revival prayer. Someone say revival prayer. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 3. We are studying from this subject, revival prayer, because we want to experience revival. We believe that many of us are already experiencing revival, but we want more of revival. And we believe that there is a certain type of prayer that ignites revival. There's a certain type of prayer that ignites the power of God in our life. There's a certain type of prayer that triggers the power of God in our life. It's called revival prayer. Someone say revival prayer. So we're learning about this type of prayer all the month of October. We launch prayer stations. We have a flyer with all the addresses of the prayer stations. It's not too late to get involved. Listen, give yourself to prayer because God wants to do tremendous things in your life. And he works in response to prayer. Someone say amen to that. So remember, the word revival means to bring back to life, to bring back to life. And the enemy has a way of killing things in our life. The world has a way of sabotaging things in our life. And some of us, we need our faith to come back to life. We need our joy to bounce back to life. We need our peace to bounce back to life. We need our marriages to bounce back to life. We need our family to bounce back to life. And we're believing revival is going to do it. The word revival also means to awaken the soul. Someone say awaken the soul. The world also has a way of lulling us to sleep. The world has a way of pacifying us, to putting us to sleep in depression and sleep in discouragement and sleep in brokenness. And all throughout the Bible, God calls out for us to wake up. In fact, the prophet Joel said, blow the trumpets in Zion, wake ye up the mighty men. And so we're studying from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to put it up on the monitors so that we can see this passage of scripture. And I'm going to invite you, if you're able, let us stand to our feet. Because I want us to read this prayer out loud together in unison. I want us to read it out loud. I want us to read it with gusto. I want us to read it like we really, really believe it. Can we do that together? So on a count of three, let's read this real loud. One, two, three. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We gather around your altar, your table to eat. Lord, you said that man shall not live off bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. We're hungry, Lord, feed us. We're thirsty, Lord, feed us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to remind us this morning as we dig into the text that Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet who lived during a devastating time in the nation of Israel. During the time that he writes this letter, his people is suffering. The people are being slaughtered. The nation is about to collapse because it is being destroyed by the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. During the time that Habakkuk writes this passage of scripture, he is having a spiritual meltdown. His faith is being crushed. Now, I don't know if you ever had a spiritual meltdown before, but if you live long enough, eventually you will have a crisis of faith and you're going to need to know what to do or how to gain the victory in your crisis. And so I want us to remember the context of which Habakkuk wrote this prayer. He is facing hardship. He is questioning God. He is angry at God. He is pointing his finger at God. And when you study the book of Habakkuk, you'll learn that in this book, he reveals his questions. In his book, he reveals his pain. In this book, he reveals his frustration. At this time, God's ways doesn't make sense to him. Have you ever woke up and you said to yourself, man, this does not make sense, God? At this time, God's ways didn't seem just to Habakkuk. And so this little book reveals his hurts. It reveals his questions. And the big question for Habakkuk in this book was, why, God? Why, God, are you allowing me to suffer? Why, God, are you allowing me to go through this? Why, God, are you not doing anything? Why, God, are you allowing us to this to happen? Why, God, are you so silent? This is the big question that Habakkuk poses and even wrestles with God with. Has anybody wrestled with God with the question, why? Now, the structure of this book of Habakkuk is very interesting. It's only three chapters, and in it, we see a wrestling match between Habakkuk and God. Habakkuk questions God, then God answers Habakkuk. Then Habakkuk questions God again, and then God answers Habakkuk again. And then something strange happens in chapter 3. We see a change in Habakkuk's attitude. We see a change in Habakkuk's disposition. I want you to get this, that Habakkuk walks away from his wrestling match with God with a song. Someone say song. The final chapter, chapter 3, is not just a prayer, but it is a song. Someone say song. So I need you to get this because it's very fascinating that Habakkuk starts off in anger, but he ends with a song. He starts off questioning God, but he ends with a song. He starts off pointing his finger at God, but he walks away singing a song. I want you to get this because it's powerful, okay? Habakkuk ends with a song. He concludes with a song. He walks away with a song. This passage of scripture that we are reading is not just a prayer. It is actually a song. In fact, I submit to you that the entire chapter 3 is a song that Habakkuk wrote in the midst of his frustration and in the midst of his pain. He starts off with anger, but he ends with a song. He starts off questioning God, but he walks away lifting his voice in song unto God. I want you to do me a favor and touch your neighbor and say, I'm getting my song back. I'm getting my song back. Somebody just say that. I'm getting my song back. 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 I'm not going to let the devil shut me up. I'm not going to let the devil silence me. I'm not going to let situations silence me no more. No, I'm getting my song back. Revival is going to happen in your life when you get your song back. Revival is going to explode when you start singing by the unction of the Holy Ghost. I want you to get this, because God wants you to get your song back. Habakkuk sang a song of praise in his pain. I'm going to teach you something this morning. I'm going to teach you something that will help you get deliverance when depression tries to attach itself to you. I want to teach you something that's going to help you get deliverance when discouragement tries to attach itself to you. I want to teach you how to get the victory when the devil tries to break you down and you ain't got no one to preach to you and you ain't got no one to hug you and you ain't got no one to pat you on the back. I want to teach you something that will help you gain the victory when no one is around you. Habakkuk sang a song of praise in his pain. He lifted his voice with a song. Let me call your attention to verse 1. I'm putting it up on the monitor. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. Shigionoth. This is that Hebrew word I taught you a couple weeks ago. It's one of them hard words in the Bible, and it's one of the words that I taught you about. Whenever you come across a hard word that you cannot pronounce, please don't skip it, because every word in the Bible has some power in it. Every word in the Bible has some meaning or some form of meaning to it, and I want to kind of teach you something this morning that many scholars believe that word, Shigionoth, means song. Many scholars believe that word, Shigionoth, means song. In fact, the Amplified translation reads the same verse. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, set to wild, enthusiastic, and triumphal music. Some of y'all didn't catch it. Habakkuk started off in pain, started off in anger, started off questioning God. But by the time God got done with him, he walked away with a wild, enthusiastic, and triumphant song unto God. That's transformation. That's revival right there. That's revival right there. In the Hebrew culture, my brothers and sisters, many prayers are songs. Hebrews, that's what Habakkuk was, a Hebrew, and during this culture, they would sing prayers. They would sing prayers. In fact, the entire chapter 3 is not just a prayer, it is also a song. I'm trying to dig this deep into your spirit. You don't have to turn there, but listen to verse 19. After Habakkuk writes the lyrics to this song, this is what he says in verse 19. He says, to the chief musician with my string instruments. In other words, he writes this song in his pain. He writes these lyrics and he says, listen, I'm dropping this song off to the worship team. And I want the band to create some beats for this song that God gave me in the midst of my pain. Habakkuk turned his worry into worship. He turned his pain into praise. He turned his stress into a song. The devil tried to stress him out. And what the devil tried to bring into his life, by the time it got through him, it turned into a song. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? He fights back depression with a song. He fights back doubt with a song. He fights back brokenness with a song. He fights back, you know, being on the bed, laying down with a song. God sent me to church this morning to tell somebody, get your song back. Get your song back. Get your song back. Don't let the devil shut you up. Don't let the devil silence you. Now, God, our creator, God, our master, he is serious about singing praises. Very serious. In fact, singing is mentioned in the Bible 400 times. Over 50 times in the Bible, the scripture teaches us to sing praises to God. Over 50 times. Listen, God tells us to live holy. God tells us to serve. God tells us to do good. God tells us to love mercy. But over 50 times, he tells us to sing a song unto him. 50 times. That's serious business right there. I want to show you several scriptures to back this up. In Psalms 59, verse 16, it says, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud, aloud, aloud." Someone say aloud. "Aloud of your mercy in the morning." Not just when I come to church, but in the morning. Not just at nighttime, but in the morning. Why does he say in the morning? Because he wants to arm you for what's ahead of you in that day. It's almost too late to start singing when you get hit upside the head with hell and high water. You got to start your day off in singing. You got to start your day off in praising. You got to start your day off in worship. He said, "I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." Psalms 96, verse 1 and 2 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." Three times in two verses, God says, "Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord." Psalms 149, verse 5 says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds." Listen, listen to this. This is powerful. The Lord gave me this revelation when I was preaching this at 9 o'clock at our Carson campus. Why in the world does he tell us to sing aloud on our beds? Why does he say, I want you to raise your voice on your bed. I want you to sing aloud on your bed. You know why? One of the reasons is because the voices of this world sometimes overpower us, and we need to respond by being louder than the voices that are trying to get our attention. So many voices in this world, right? You got voices outside of you, and some of y'all got voices inside of you that are pulling on you, discouraging you, causing you to doubt, causing you to fear. And God is saying, listen, when you're on your bed, I don't want you to lay down and be quiet and succumb to the voices that are trying to get your attention. I don't want you to lay down in a fetal position and be discouraged and be broken. No, I want you to open up your voice, lift up your voice, and cry louder. Sometimes you got to sing loud. The reason why we sing loud, one of the reasons why we sing loud is not because God is deaf. It's not because God is hard of hearing. That's not the reason why we lift up our voice. No, one of the reasons why we lift up our voice is because we have allowed the voices of the world to be too loud. And so we silence the voices of the world by being louder than the devil, louder than our circumstances, louder than the naysayers, louder than the haters. I'm not going to let you shut me up. I'm going to sing louder. God doesn't tell us to sing loud because he's deaf, because he's hard of hearing. No, he knows there's something to this. There's something to this. There's power in singing praises to God. There's spiritual power released in the atmosphere when God's people sing. There's power to be comforted. There's even power over demonic oppression and demonic attacks when the people of God give themselves to joyful singing. There's power that is released in the atmosphere. That's why somebody could come to Chapel of Change discouraged and depressed, and they get up amongst the singing of God's saints, and the Holy Ghost slaps them upside the head. That's why people could get delivered on the seats. That's why people could get delivered on the altar. That's why people can get delivered without even hands being laid on them, because we created this atmosphere of deliverance. When we come and the worship team leads us in singing, my brothers and sisters, part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of the reason for us to open up our voice is because we're fighting back. We're fighting back depression. We're fighting back discouragement. We're fighting back. We're fighting back. Songs focus us on God. Songs focus us on God. And I want to remind us, getting back to the text, that the whole chapter 3 is a song. The whole chapter 3, I'm going to put it up on the screen, that songs focus us on God. And the reason, one of the reasons why God wants us to sing is because when we sing of his work and we sing of his character, and singing about his work and singing about his character focus us back on God. Are you following along? The devil has a way of distracting us. The devil has a way of us putting our eye, getting our eyes on our situation, getting our eyes on our circumstance. And so when we sing about the work and the character of God, it refocuses us. It refocuses us. It focuses us on the power of God. Now, listen to what Habakkuk writes. He writes in chapter 3, verse 4. Listen to this. This is the lyrics of his song. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. What is that? He's referring to the deliverance from Egypt. When God delivered them out of Egypt, he came down from the mountain and he brought them into the promised land. So Habakkuk he's singing about what God already did. Because if God did it before, he could do it again. If he did it before, he could do it again. So he's reminding himself of what God already did through singing a song. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand and there his power was hidden. Now remember, don't forget the context. Don't forget that Habakkuk's going through pain. Don't forget that Habakkuk is losing his faith. Don't forget that Habakkuk's situation is bad. But in the midst of his pain, he's singing out about the glory of God, about the power of God. Why? Because he's refocusing on what really matters. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? Satan loves to discourage us. And the way that he discourages us is by getting us to take our eyes off of God and put it on our circumstances. Songs also, they bring freedom. They bring freedom. Songs help to create an atmosphere of freedom. Songs help to create an atmosphere of deliverance. I want you to think of songs as a force field against the attacks of the devil. When we sing songs unto the Lord, the force field goes up and it protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. If you sing a lot to the Lord, your force field is strong. If you don't sing a lot to the Lord, your force field is weak and you allow the enemy to get to the places in your life that take you down. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? Paul and Silas in the Bible, in Acts chapter 16, they were preaching the gospel and they got arrested. And the Bible says that they were beat down with rods. They were beat down with rods and they were chained up and put in stocks, and both of them were thrown into a prison cell. Now this prison cell was not Disneyland. This prison cell was not the Holiday Inn. This was a terrible, ugly, dark cold, lonely prison cell. And they were in the cell for doing good. They were in the cell for preaching the gospel. They were in the cell because they did right. They got beat down because they did right. They got beat down because they got did right. I'm going to say that again. They got beat down because they did right. Has anybody suffered for doing good? You in good company. I want you to notice how Apostle Paul and Silas respond. About midnight, someone say midnight. Midnight is a terrible place to be at in life, and we all go through several midnights, but you got to know what to do in midnight. You got to know what to do in midnight, because you could have a miracle or you could have some more misery if you, depending upon what you do at midnight. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and complaining. Hello, somebody. They were praying and complaining? No, by the way, you cannot pray and complain at the same time. Does not work. If you catch yourself praying and complaining, you're canceling out your prayers. Notice what you're doing. And don't forget the context. They're bleeding. They possibly have broken bones. They're suffering for doing good. They're in a cell. Listen to this. Remember the context of what's going on. They're not having their prayers answered. They're not going to Chuck E. Cheese at this time. They're not getting their paycheck at this time. They didn't just get a raise at this time. They're suffering. It says they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Listen. If you name the name of Christ, always remember somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you, and you are probably the only Bible someone would read. So watch out what you do in your midnight. And they were listening to them. Suddenly, someone say suddenly. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Notice what happens as they begin to sing. Notice what happens as they begin to lift up their voices. The foundation of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. Someone say open. Some of y'all need some open doors in your life right now. Some of y'all need God to open a door in your life right now. And I'm suggesting to you, it's not going to happen until you open up your voice, lift up your voice in praise to God. Praises open doors in our life. At once, all the prison doors opened and everyone's chains came loose. Look at what singing unto the Lord does. Look at what singing. Instead of crying and complaining, they sang a song of praise, and their song broke the chains. Their songs freed them from prison. Their song delivered them. And the Bible doesn't say it, but I like to believe that when God heard them singing from that prison cell, I like to believe that God started to dance. You know, the Bible says in Zephaniah that God dances. When he heard his people singing, God started to dance. I don't know what he did. Maybe he did the Roger Rabbit. Maybe he did the RoboCop. But God started to dance. And guess what? When God danced, the earth shakes. When God dances, the earth shakes. And their song broke the chains of the devil. Their songs freed them from prison. Their songs delivered them. Listen, my brothers and sisters, there is a level of deliverance that only happens when you open up your mouth in praises to God. There is a level of deliverance that is not going to take place until you open up your mouth. There is a level of freedom that is not going to happen in your life until you learn how to sing in your midnight hour. Now, as I wrap this up, there's a big question that I got to kind of think about. How was Habakkuk able to sing in his pain? How was he able to sing in his pain? Listen, my brothers and sisters, back to Habakkuk. From chapter 1 to chapter 3, nothing changes in Habakkuk's outward circumstances. Get this, remember? In chapter 1, he starts off in anger. In chapter 1, everybody's dying. In chapter 1, his situation is falling apart. And then in chapter 3, he sings a song. But what I want you to notice, that from chapter 1 to chapter 3, nothing outwardly changes in his situation. Are you following along? Nothing changes in his outward situation. Things are still falling apart. Things are still looking bad. His prayer is still not answered. People are still dying. Violence is still happening. How in the world was Habakkuk able to muster up a song? How was he able to sing in his pain? I want to suggest to you, it is because Habakkuk sang by faith. He sang by faith. He lifted his voice by faith. He praised God by faith. God taught Habakkuk something in chapter 2. When Habakkuk was questioning God, God, what's going on in my life? God, why is all this happening? God gave him a word. And in chapter 2, verse 4, God told Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. When your world is falling apart, the just shall live by faith. When your prayer is not getting answered, the just shall live by faith. When everybody's against you, the just shall live by faith. When you don't understand what God is doing, the just shall live by faith. Now listen, this phrase is so critical to the life of a believer that God repeats this one phrase 4 times in the Bible. He repeats this one phrase 4 times in the Bible. Why in the world does God repeat something 4 times? Why does he have to say it over and over again? You know why? Because he knows some of us are hard-headed. He knows some of us ain't gonna get it the first time. We ain't gonna get it the second time. So he loves us enough to repeat himself. He loves us enough to say it again. He loves us enough to give us another chance to walk by faith. Listen to this in Romans 1:17. Says the righteous will live by faith. In case you didn't get it in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, in case you didn't get it, God says, okay, I'm going to say it to you again. Romans 1:17, the righteous will live by faith. Just in case you didn't get it the second time, God says, listen, okay, I love you enough. I'm going to tell you 3 times. Galatians 3:11, it says again, the just shall live by faith. And yet there's still some of us, few of us, one or two of us that don't get it 3 times. We need God to tell us again. And in Hebrews chapter 10, the Lord says the exact same thing. He says it slightly differently, but he says, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, if he gives up, if he throws in the towel, I will take no pleasure in him. How do we move forward? We move forward by faith. How do we sing when our life is falling apart? We sing by faith. How do we pray when our prayers are not being answered? We pray by faith. How do we get up in the morning when our body hurts? We get up by faith. This is how Habakkuk was able to walk away singing a song. His situation didn't change. His circumstances didn't change. But his inside changed. His inside changes. Listen. God always works from the inside out. He always works from the inside out. You want God to change that outward situation, and God wants you to change the inward situation. Because if the inward situation doesn't change, you'll never handle the changed outward situation. And Habakkuk graduated from being a worrier to a worshiper. He graduated from being a doubter to a believer. He graduated from being fearful to faithful. Every now and then, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to hold a graduation. Every now and then, God looks down from heaven and says, it's time, my daughter, for you to graduate from level 1 type of faith to level 2 type of faith. Every now and then, God looks down from heaven and says, my son, you've been on that level way too long. It's time for you to take up your crown. It's time for you to take up your gown. And it's time for us to have a graduation, because it's time for you to get to the next level. Don't lay down. Don't shrink back. Don't give up. But step up to what I want you to do. In the name of Jesus, by faith. By faith. Habakkuk sang by faith. And so what we're going to do today, as I transition the sermon together, if you're able, I want to invite you to stand up. I want to invite you to stand up. I want to invite the worship team to come to the platform. What we want to do, my brothers and sisters, just for the next couple moments, is I want us to exercise. Someone say exercise. I want us to exercise singing unto the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in the song, I Just Want to Glorify Your Name. And I really want you, this is an exercise. I don't want to just fill you up with knowledge. I want you to be transformed. Listen, I don't know how many times in my 27 years of serving the Lord where I've been bombarded with depression. I've been bombarded with discouragement. I've been bombarded with fear. And it was a song that delivered me. It was a song that set me free. It was a song that bubbled up from my heart. I didn't have a preacher at that moment to give me a word. I didn't have no one to hug me to tell me it was going to be all right. But a song came out of my heart. And I don't know where it came from, me worshiping the Lord in the congregation. And I planted it in my heart. I planted it in my heart. And it came out during the storm. It came out during the storm. So listen, we're going to exercise this. But what I'm actually doing is I'm planting this song in your heart. Because you're going to need it when you go through the storm. And it's going to come out and it's going to give you deliverance. It's going to come out and give you deliverance. Let's put the lyrics of this song. I just want to praise your name. I just want to praise your name. Let's put the lyrics. Let's put the lyrics on the screen. Hallelujah. And they're going to lead us. But they're not going to worship for us. You hear what I'm saying? This is exercise. I'm training you up, man. I'm training you up. This is exercise. Lead us.
I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad.
Yes.
Want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am. And I just want to bless your name.
Come on, let's exercise.
And I just want to make you want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am.
I just want to bless.
And I just want to bless your name.
Come on, let's exercise our spirit in singing. Come on, church.
And I just want to make you all I am.
Sing that one more time. I just want to bless your name.
I just want to bless your name.
Come on, let it come from your spirit. Exercise your spirit.
I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart.
Lift up our voices unto the Lord.
You are worthy, Lord.
Yeah, lift up your voices.
You are worthy, Lord.
Yeah.
By your will.
By your will.
Sing louder than the doubt. Sing louder than the fear.
For your pleasure.
You are worthy,
Lord. You are
Open up your mouth unto the Lord. Open up your mouth to the Lord. Open up your mouth to the Lord. Come on. We're exercising. We're exercising. We're exercising. Open up your mouth. Scream louder than the doubt. Scream louder than the fear. Louder than the fear. Louder than the doubt. Louder than the depression. Hallelujah. 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 I feel led to sing that chorus. What's the last chorus to that song? Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. Come on. That's it. That's it. Open up your voice, church. We're exercising. Come on. Sing louder than the fear, louder than the doubt, louder than the depression. Come on.
To worship you, I live.
That's it.
To worship you,
that's
I
it.
Live. I live. To worship
you. That's it right there in the midst of the pain.
To worship you. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live. To worship you.
To worship you.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live.
Thank you.